Thank you, Lindsay. Good morning. My name's Tim. I'm the interim lead pastor here. It's really good to be with you this morning. And if you're a child, I'm going to let you self-identify here. If you're a child, raise your hand. Good. Hey, you guys are doing great. And you saw a picture a little bit ago where you're actually going to be, many of you are going to be up here next week, and we cannot wait for that. But we wanted to have you stay in here just a few minutes longer this morning because there's something we want you to hear. There's some people like you that we want to find a way to help in this season. And what this is a part of is our end of the year Advent giving. I wish I had numbers, and I don't in front of me, but I think that we as a church, Missio as a church, has given more financially in the year 2025 than we have in any year previously. And that is we're celebrating, and that's fantastic. And God's led each of us as homes and as families and how we do that with Jesus. And but in December, we typically give more than any other month in the year. And so we've picked December not just because it's the last of the year and because we give more, but also because it's the season that we talk about giving and receiving in a unique way around Christmas time. And so we've challenged ourselves by deciding to give 10% of whatever we give as a church to two different projects of people in need right here in our city. And so we heard one of those ways last week. We had a team of folks here that are involved in a ministry called the Hope Center on the east side of Portland, Rockwood neighborhood. And so we heard some stories from there. We have another way that we're giving away 10% of our December giving this year, and it actually happens from right within us. And so would you join me in welcoming Johanna up here with me? Would you welcome her? And Alice. Yeah, sorry, it's a little bit of a... Good job. So, Johanna, you and your family have been a part of Missio for a number of years, a long time. Yeah. And there's been something that's close to your heart, and you have worked with a few other folks of a way to meet a need in our city. And so would you just share with us what that looks like and kind of what led you to that?
Thank you, Tim, and thank you, everybody that's here today. So, yeah, I'm going to talk about immigration. I know that you have probably all heard about what's going on in the immigrant population in Portland, with people being picked up and deported, and with the National Guard maybe being sent here and maybe not. And I just want to start by saying that immigrants... especially those from countries that speak Spanish, have been near and dear to my heart for a very long time. Since my youth, basically, when I did mission trips to South America and also studied abroad in Ecuador, that culture is just so community-oriented, so welcoming, and so inclusive, and I really love it. And I have recently had the opportunity to get to know more immigrant families here in Portland, mostly through Yoendri, who is a youth from Venezuela who became part of our family 2 years ago. So through him, we've been talking to a lot of immigrant families, and I will say that they are very thankful to be here. They love the United States, but recently, in the last several months, there's been a lot of fear, just a lot of fear. And I know that this is a very highly charged political subject, and people have lots of really strong views on it. So I'm gonna try to leave politics out and just talk about people, because at the end of the day, it's the people that really matter, okay? So people are getting picked up in areas like Hillsborough and in Gresham when they're working, when they go to the grocery store, when they're at the hardware store, they get picked up, and often they get deported. And so who's left behind is often the woman with her children, and now she doesn't know how to provide for her children anymore. So I recently talked to one woman who came here 6 years ago from Mexico. And she said that she really likes it in the United States. She came here fleeing gang violence. So it was just her, the town that she grew up in was becoming more and more violent. And actually, she lost her father to gang violence. And after that, she decided that she wanted to make a better life for her children. She has 5 children. And so 6 years ago, her family came to the United States, which in itself was a difficult journey. It's never easy to uproot and move, especially to a country that doesn't speak your language. But she loved it here. She said she loves it. She said that it's really nice to be able to just go out into the street whenever you want to, not fearing any violence or anything, to be able to buy your food at the grocery store when you want to sleep without any fear that somebody is going to rob you or kill you or anything. But in the last several months, that's all changed for her. So her husband was at work and got picked up by immigration agents. And despite pending asylum case, he was taken up to Tacoma, which is the Northwest Detention Center. And conditions there are pretty awful. This is somebody that committed no crimes and yet was in an area, in a place that's basically worse than prison. And she said that he decided, after seeing people there who had been there for over a year without having the opportunity to see a judge on their case, he decided that he would voluntarily be deported. However, that leaves her here alone with her 5 children and not a good idea of how to support them, because she is now terrified that she's also going to be picked up. She's terrified about what that would mean for her children if she were picked up. Would they be deported with her? Would they have to spend months in a detention center, and they're young and vulnerable? What would that be like for them? Or would they be left behind and left to fend for themselves here in Portland while she's deported to Mexico? So she's really afraid. She's afraid to go to the grocery store. She's afraid even to go out and walk around on the streets, because the immigration agents are all over. And yeah. So this story, unfortunately, is playing out over and over again in Portland. Women are left alone with their children, and they're wondering how to care for them and what to do, and worried about what will happen if they get picked up too. And so I know that perhaps not all these people came here through the correct channels. And I know that there's often a lot of feeling and emotion about what we should or shouldn't do for these people. But I will say that Jesus, always when he was alive, he stepped past the politics and he stepped past the personal history or the offenses or the sins of that person, and he saw those people for who they are, which is beloved image bearers of God. And he said, this is a person that I love, let's show them love. Okay, so James has 2 things to say about this. The first thing that James says is that pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. So this woman is not not a widow in the strictest sense, but she might as well be, because her husband has been taken and can no longer support her. So she's left alone trying to provide for her children. And the other thing that James says is that words are not enough. You can't see your brother or your sister out in the cold without a coat and just say, stay warm, right? That doesn't do anything. You have to give a coat. Words are never enough. You have to also act. And so at Missio, we're going to act. We're going to give grocery carts to people, and we're going to work to pick up food from the store to bring to these people who feel shut in and feel like they can't leave. And when we do that, we'll talk about that Jesus loves them and that Jesus cares for them and that he wants to show up and that they matter, that every person matters, and spread the love of Jesus that way. Because He does love these people, and he does want to show up, and he does want to hear them, and we have the privilege of being the hands and the feet that he can use to do that.
Well done. Thank you very much, Johanna. One of the things that I really appreciate about the initiative that you've taken, that you felt led by God to take, is that this isn't a distant story, but it's close, and it's personal, and it's people that you've come in contact with and that you see and know. And Johanna's worked with a crew of folks here that are actually going to be involved in this, of what it means to actually take food, hand a grocery card so that they can get food or pick up food and take it to a home or a family that does not feel safe leaving. And thank you also just for acknowledging this is a very charged, I think you said, and there's a lot of opinions and all that. And so sometimes we get stuck in talking about it and end up not being able to do or take any tangible action. And so thank you for just creating and establishing a way to do this. And so, thank you again. This is one of the two projects that we're gonna be giving to and being involved in this season. And Johanna, thank you again just so much for taking that. Would you give her a hand?